Kelly D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download the app today and use promo code THEGAME. Appreciate everybody for hanging with us through our technical difficulties. But we are live out here at Simmons Bank Open at the Grove Club. It is an absolutely beautiful day on a beautiful course. We guessed that this was hole 18, yes. And we were correct. We are, in fact, in front of hole 18. It's a beautiful view. Thank you to our people over at Simmons Bank Open for having us here today. Willie D, D-Mays, how we doing?
Hey, doing wonderful. I just want to go lay down, like, right on the edge, right by the little, can we call that a little, it's a pond.
A little pond?
Yeah, it's a pond. Yeah. I want to sit right there, and I could just watch golf right there. Every time they come through
like
the 18th hole.
You could get, like, a little
inner tube. Exactly, absolutely.
And just float around the pond.
That's what they should have.
Yeah.
They should have inner tubes where kids can get on and just watch, you know, or fans, and just watch. If you get hit by a golf ball, then, hey, that's your fault. You
signed the waiver.
You signed the waiver. But I think that would be kind of cool.
You know, it's like, that would remind me of the Giants, the San Francisco Giants, with the people getting the kayaks,
yes.
And they hang out in the bay right behind the wall, and they hope the ball gets hit over the wall so they can dive in and get the baseball.
Yes.
But Covey Cove.
So
you could do that here at hole 18. You could float, be in a kayak, maybe just get a little raft and hang and just watch the action.
I've been lucky enough to go to a few different, you know, golf tournaments in my day, and I've loved them. You know, the PGA Championship sometimes at Belle Reve in St. Louis, not too far from where I grew up. So my dad and I, we would always go when I was growing up, and so I had this, understanding of what a golf tournament is like. It's pretty low key. And then I went to the Phoenix Open, and I was like, oh, I like these golf tournaments a lot better, you know, where they're throwing drinks onto the course and everybody's cheering. So I feel like golf could use a little bit more of that.
Yeah.
A little bit of unruliness. Some kayakers.
I'd be okay.
Sipping a pina colada.
Something
right
a little
on the
different.
Green.
Something a little different. I know a lot of traditionalists like the way that golf is, but I think sometimes it's good to have a wrinkle. I'll give you an example. Baseball is going through that. Right now, Rob Thompson, like, the Braves clinched on Philadelphia soil last night, right? And they hooted it up. You know, they have their home run things. Acuna's got his flair. And I would say, generally speaking, it's much more accepted now than it was even 5 or 10 years ago.
The flashiness.
Let alone 20 or 30 years ago, right? Where if you did something a certain way, you're going to get drilled. There will be a statement coming back the other way.
The unwritten rules.
But Rob Thompson decided to go old school and said, hey, it is what it is. I don't like it. You know, like, his guys don't do anything. You know, because most players are a little more brash and celebratory than they used to be. It's more accepted.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know if golf has really gone that way, has it? It's stayed a lot more with its traditions.
Sort of like,
there's no Happy Gilmores.
No.
No.
It's sort of like baseball in a sense. They're trying to hold on as long as they possibly can with tradition. I think golf may be able to do it, but we yet to have seen a young rising star be that boisterous or that flamboyant verbally.
Right.
We've seen, you know, the guys that wear the hair or the you know, the bright colors, but we haven't seen them be outwardly.
The Ricky Fowlers of the world.
Exactly, absolutely. Yeah. So in baseball, they're trying to get more up to speed in regards to allowing players to show their personality.
Yeah, so.
And I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It's what baseball needed. It was a little bit of, you know, youthfulness, a little bit of personality, you know, the Tatises of the world. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Yeah.
But happy to be out here at the Simmons Bank Open. It is almost game day for the Tennessee Titans, and we're going to get into the Chargers of it all. Can we decide as a show that we are simply looking ahead rather than looking back?
Yeah, we will try our best to do 95% of the show without looking back.
Well, there is some looking back that we're going to have to
do. Exactly, we have
to. We're going to keep everybody accountable.
Mm-hmm.
But today's about the Chargers. So we are on, in Ryan Tannehill's words, we're on to San Diego.
Yes. Even though they don't.
Even though they're not San Diego. I read in TV's article on ESPN.com kind of breaking down what Tannehill said at this press conference. You know, quote, we're on to San Diego, and then parentheses, L.A. Chargers.
Yeah.
But, hey,
and he did laugh about that.
Us.
That was funny where he kind of caught it, or somebody gave him a look, or he's like, oh, I mean Los Angeles. Yeah. I'm sure he's not the first or the last to do that this season.
I've said it a few times.
Oh, I know. And how many years has it been? It's been a couple years since they moved from San Diego.
Happens to the best of us. Oakland Raiders, San Diego Chargers. Nobody says St. Louis Rams, so that's maybe that's telling.
Is that good or bad?
Not a good sign for the city of St. Louis. But we got the first injury report of the week yesterday, and I remember this time last week. We were rejoicing in how small and not very daunting the injury report looked. Injury report looks a little bit more daunting this week, and the one that really stood out to me, well, two, I guess. One was that Treylon Burks did not practice yesterday, but it was non-injury-related personal reasons. I hope that everything for Treylon Burks' sake is good in his personal life, but are we okay with that?
Yeah, I'm
non-injury-related
as long as he's
reasons.
Okay.
As long as he's okay, his family's okay, and he's going to be able to go on Sunday, I can live with that. The concerning aspect on this for me, DeAndre Hopkins did not practice yesterday with an ankle. I didn't see D-Hop do anything or be visibly injured in the New Orleans game. I feel like at least one of us would have caught something like that on Sunday. Not that I saw.
I didn't see anything. He did finish the game, to my knowledge. He didn't come off because of injury, to my knowledge. And I've watched the game a couple of times. This is what was talked about prior to the season. DeAndre Hopkins being able to practice. Now, listen, he got through two-a-days, or what we would call the new two-a-days, and it's easier to sort of structure the practice and, you know, a guy not going to full practice, and you can, you know, dismiss it by, hey, listen, these are long days, long weeks. We're trying to preserve our guys, so we periodically pull guys out of practice. So we didn't make too much of a deal out of it when he didn't practice during camp, even though it wasn't egregious, so to speak.
He missed maybe a day, I don't know, but he missed less than I expected him to miss for being a guy that doesn't like to practice.
Absolutely. But when you get into the season now and all of a sudden ankle injury, I hope this ankle injury isn't significant enough where it will hamper him in the game, because this is a guy that already doesn't rely on speed at all, and then you add an ankle injury to that, now you diminish him as a player even more to being able to run routes and things of that nature. So it is a little bit disheartening or concerning that he didn't practice yesterday. Now hopefully he will practice today, and I'm sure we will get a report. But if he doesn't practice today, which I anticipate him practicing, but if he doesn't practice today, then I think, you know, these are some things we need to pay attention to moving forward.
That was my first thought, was, is this the first chapter in the he doesn't really practice that much?
That's what,
because
I thought.
None of us saw anything. He had 13 passes thrown to him. I don't remember him coming off the field late in the game. So we'll see. We'll just have to read and react as we go forward here. But it doesn't seem like there's anything alarming.
One of my first thoughts, maybe this is fair, maybe it's not. I thought, okay, is it an ankle? Or is it it's an ankle? Because D-Hop's just not going to practice today. We do know that about DeAndre Hopkins, that he does not practice. And we saw a lot of him in training camp, like I mentioned earlier, more than I expected. So is this a DeAndre Hopkins, hey, he's out today, it's an ankle, or is this actually an injury that could inhibit him playing on Sunday or the way that he is going to be used on Sunday? So that, I am concerned until he's out there at practice and I can say, okay, you know, we're good, we're moving forward, and he's going to be good to go on Sunday. The other side of the ball on the injury report that was concerning to me, Monty Hooker, as we learned yesterday, is still in concussion protocol. We learned that from Mike Vrabel from his press conference yesterday. And Christian Fulton was limited. I don't know if that means that Christian Fulton was limited yesterday. He could be a full go today. We could expect him on Sunday. But a secondary that was already, you know, not deep with depth, going up against a team that likes to throw the football, the secondary was a concern, and the injuries on the in the secondary continued to be a concern for me.
This has been a concern of mine the whole time. So you know, it just, you know, reiterate, you know, what I said, that if the defensive line is going to do their job and be as disruptive as they have been, then the secondary, I believe, have to match it. And matching it, to me, means staying healthy. And I'm sure we'll get into even more of that on the other side.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue the conversation on the other side. Plus, we will take a deep dive into DeMace's film room. We'll get into that on the other side. Caroline, Willie, DeMace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Willie, DeMace, 1025-1063, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live up here at the Grove Club for the Simmons Bank Open. Previewing Titans at the Chargers. Now, we stand corrected, and that is completely on me. I am disappointed in myself.
And I watched the game twice. Three times.
I watched the game live, and then I watched the All-22 following the game when the All-22 came out on, what, Tuesday?
Yeah.
I completely missed DeAndre Hopkins because he, in that last offensive down, third and six?
Third and 12.
Third and 12, and he...
with just under 3 minutes to go. And I think he caught the pass. I'm watching the video right now.
He did catch it.
It made it fourth and six.
Yeah.
And remember, we were all thinking, are they going to go for it? Not. But, and I don't know why I didn't think of this too, because I remember this happening. He jogged over to the sideline, so he didn't need help to get off the field. But he got over to the sideline, and they clearly weren't going for it. So he knew they weren't going for it. But he lied down. He was lying down on the turf and started putting it, put his ankles up in the air and started massaging above his ankle on the one side. So it was on the telecast for sure.
But my thing is, would he have, if the Titans had gotten another possession, would he then have come out?
That's the question.
For that position.
Yeah, we won't know.
Or
that.
Is he one of these guys? And I'm not saying he is one of these guys, but I have run into guys that any injury that they get, any small, big, it don't matter, they want time off. Mm-hmm. It's like, my ankle feels a little.
Give me a sec.
My ankle feels a little bit, you know, I twisted it just a tad bit. I'm not going to go today.
Right.
I'm not, you know, my rotator cuff hurt. Maybe I'm not going to go today. My quad is just, I feel it just a tad bit. I can do warm-ups and stuff, but I'm not going to practice. Is he one of those guys? And is that what keeps him out of practice? And is that what people have gotten annoyed about with him? Not necessarily that you're missing practice, but that you're missing him for reason that other guys are out here practicing. Guys with the same injury, they're out here practicing, but you're not.
And we won't know.
And we won't know. Yeah.
Like, you know, we could play that game all day long, and if D-Hop couldn't practice yesterday, then he couldn't practice yesterday. I mean, I've said it, that the not practicing thing I can live with, whether that's by choice.
I can't. Not the way they offense.
Yeah, they need gel. They need
by
reps.
But I mean, if he can't go, he can't go. Like, yeah. His ankle is, you know, in a bad place. He can't play.
Uh-huh.
But that concerns me because and the Titans are back on the practice field today. We'll see what kind of work D-Hop gets, if at all. But that concerns me for Sunday because I saw against the Saints, DeAndre Hopkins was Ryan Tannehill's security blanket, is what it felt like. Mm-hmm. Every single snap, when Ryan Tannehill felt, you know, at least to me, when he looked like he felt uncomfortable, he went right for DeAndre Hopkins. Now, we don't know the status of what DeAndre Hopkins in his ankle is today, but if D-Hop can't go Sunday or if he's not 100% Sunday, then if Ryan Tannehill, that had zero touchdowns and three interceptions, completed less than 50% of his passes last week with D-Hop, loses his security blanket against a Chargers team that you're going to have to throw the football against.
Yeah, I don't plan on him not playing. I think he will play because if the injury was that significant, I think Vrabel would have said something alluding to that, that it may be a little bit or it's day-to-day, so to speak, mm-hmm. or we're monitoring it. Can't give a definitive answer on whether he will play or not. But I expect him to play. I expect him not to feel any – you know, residual effects, because once you get into the new game, your adrenaline is going. They may give you a shot, and then you go about your business. And now he may feel it after the game, but I do fully expect him to play against the Chargers this Sunday.
We'll see. Yeah. I mean, I think today's practice is going to be telling about what we can expect from D-Hop. Let's say, okay, let's break it down. If he plays this week, if he plays today, we feel good about him playing Sunday. If he's a full go at practice.
Oh, no question. I think he could even miss today and still play Sunday for sure. Friday is the day that I would worry about if he's missed all the practices. Then, you know, sometimes the coach will go in and say he's out. You know, he'll rustle the guys out on Friday afternoon. So, to me, in the big picture, they've got to get – there's plenty of other things they can work on. They need him out there, but there was a lot of untapped things, so many other issues that they need work on. I still see that they can be – they left so much on the field. Mm-hmm. You know, it starts there. Like, let's see the other guy. Let's get Okonkwo involved more. Let's get Burks involved more. If he doesn't play, it's an opportunity for those other guys to get involved. They'll have to get him involved.
Yeah, you're going to have to. You're going to have to – the distribution is going to be – it's going to have to be a little bit more balanced in regards to the passing game. It was totally out of whack this past game. And I believe that's why they couldn't get any – it seemed like they couldn't get any rhythm with the other guys. Mm-hmm. Now, again, a few guys did have an opportunity. Chig should have caught the pass. Chig had a pass on the out route early in the game. And you pointed that out to me, Willie, that he shouldn't have, because the vantage point I had, I thought the defender knocked the ball down. But Chig had his hands on it, and he could have caught it. The one Treylon Burks had in the middle of the field would have been like a 19-yard game. That's when he should have caught. So – you know, Hop not practicing yesterday may help sort of get them away from solely relying on D-Hop in the passing game. It gives you an opportunity now to spread the ball around evenly, because the minute he signed with the Titans, they felt, and I guarantee you Ryan Tannehill felt, his responsibility was to get D-Hop the ball at all costs, and it showed in the first game.
I don't think the best formula for them to win is 13 targets.
No, I don't either.
To DeAndre Hopkins. I think it's seven or eight would be sufficient.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe a little higher some weeks,
depending
maybe a little lower
game.
Some weeks,
yeah.
Depending on the matchups. But I didn't think that the matchups were there. I saw their best corner on Hopkins a lot when they threw it to him. So I think that's one thing I'm thinking about if I'm Tim Kelly is – let's find better matchups. Let's try to get to exploit the better matchups. They did on a couple.
Yeah.
Like the two touchdown throws that they missed, that was the matchup they were looking for, favorable matchup. Spears on a safety that can't run with him, or a linebacker on a Okonkwo. Clearly that guy was never going to catch up to the Chig. Just the throw wasn't there. If they can get a little bit more of that, I think that will open some things up. But I thought there was, like you said, D-Mace, a little bit of a, we got D-Hop, we got to throw it to D-Hop, even though maybe the coverage was shifted to him a little bit. Looked like it. He didn't look like he was open in space very often. Even the ones he caught were contested, and he's good at catching the contested balls, right?
Yeah.
That's the double-edged sword.
Yeah.
It felt like the ball was being forced. Mm-hmm. And whether it's D-Hop, whether it's Treylon Burks, whether it's Chris Moore, whoever it is, this offense won't be successful if you're continuing to force the ball into places where it shouldn't be. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, D-Mace has broken down the film, so we'll take a look into D-Mace's film room and his evaluation of the Chargers, and we will do that coming up next. Tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits this Saturday for MTSU football. The Blue Raiders will kick off at 6 p.m. at home against Murray State, pregame beginning at 5 p.m. You can hear all the coverage on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3classichits.com. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, the game and the game Nashville app. All right, Titans taking on the Chargers. I keep wanting to say San Diego. Ryan Tannehill, putting that in my head. Taking on the Chargers this weekend at home in the Titans home opener. D-Mace, you took a deep dive. Jared let you borrow the film room.
Yes, he let me go into his man cave and borrow the film room.
So D-Mace is Jared's film room.
Exactly. He had the old school, you know, video.
A projector?
Yeah, projector. He had the old school. I like that in Jared.
Where
old
it, like, clicks. Like, yeah. So you watched the Chargers game last week against Miami.
Yeah, I did. And
offensive takeaways.
Offensive takeaways. This is a big team. This might be the biggest team that I've seen in a long time. It's reminiscent to the old San Francisco team when they had Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, and I forget the other kid's name, the receiver name, J.J. Stokes. And all three of those guys you're talking about over 6'2". Mm-hmm. And I think J.J. Stokes was the biggest at 6'4". Even their tight ends were big. It reminds me of a team like that, or the Minnesota Vikings when they had Chris Carter, Randy Moss, and I forget the third receiver. But all those three guys were 6'3", 6'4", and up. The Chargers are this exact team. They're a big team. They love to run the football with both of their running backs. They're going to try to get Eckler. Eckler is the guy everybody knows. Eckler is the guy that you have to stop. Everything that they run in regards to their offense is through Eckler. But they do a lot of play action. They want to push the ball down the field. That's their motto. We're going to use our big receivers. We're going to push the ball down the field. Or we're going to give them opportunities to catch the ball in space, turn up, and make plays. This is what everything is predicated on in regards to their offense. Herbert. He looked okay at times. He looked really good at times for the Chargers in the Miami game. But the guy you're going to have to watch is Gerald Everett. This guy, I mean, he's a matchup problem. And
speed.
He has speed, but he also can flex out as a wide receiver. Again, the Chargers do a lot of three wide receiver sets. It almost at times it looks like a five wide receiver set. At times, because Palmer can flex out to wide receiver, as well as they have another backup guy in Parman Jr. That's another guy. He's 6'8".
Josh Palmer is a guy that whenever you think about the Chargers, he's probably
Donald Palmer. Donald Palmer.
Oh, I'm thinking of Josh Palmer.
Yeah,
is Josh Palmer still with the Chargers?
I don't know if he's.
Maybe he's not.
I don't think he's still with the Chargers. Not
maybe not.
Last,
sorry,
yeah.
Continue.
But it's Donald Palmer Jr. Okay. It's Parham Jr., not Palmer. Parham Jr. This is another guy. He caught a touchdown versus the Miami Dolphins. Big physical target. They also use him on the line of scrimmage, as far as blocking. So, but everything that they want to do from an offensive standpoint runs through Austin Eckler and what he can do from the running back position. Out the backfield, it's a lot of their runs are out of shotgun, and it's almost this sort of run pass RP. It looks like, almost like an RPO type of situation, but it's really not. He's just slow planning with the running back and allowing Eckler to find holes with this big offensive line. But it's not a physical team. It's weird because all of these big guys that they have, but it doesn't seem like they're a physical team. It's like they're a finesse team, but we want to run the football.
Yeah.
And they're allowed to do, they're able to do that because of Eckler's ability. He's about 5'8", 5'7". He gets hidden under those big offensive linemen, and he finds a hole or a space in the offense, and he goes. A guy with a lot of speed. So they got speed at the running back position. They don't necessarily have top-end speed at the receiver position, but all of these guys are big. Just imagine D-Hop, younger, a little bit more foot speed, but at 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah.
They are matchup problem. Keenan Allen is probably one of the most underrated players in the National Football League in regards to wide receivers. This guy just does it year in and year out. The problem with him is he can't stay healthy a full season.
And it was unbelievable how little they had all of their guys on the field at the same time.
Exactly,
last year.
Yeah.
So they're hoping for more luck. But Austin Eckler did miss practice yesterday. His agent passed away. And so that was part of the reason he was practiced, but they said he is dealing with an ankle injury. It's like D-Hop. Like, he played in the game. Mm-hmm. He did well. So how bad is it? It's hard to know. I wouldn't assume that he's going to miss the game because, like you said, there's so much that revolves around him. They had a second running back,
Josh McKelley.
He ran the heck out of the ball.
Yeah.
They ran it 40 times against the Dolphins. So that was one of the things I was curious about, D-Mace, is Kellen Moore comes in to try to fix an offense that they couldn't get it right last year. A lot of it was because they didn't have all of their guys for most of the games, but they wanted more deep shots. They wanted more threat. But what he seemed to do was he spread it out, like you said, the five wide. And then a lot of times they would spread it and run it, and they ran it well. Like, if they saw a certain coverage, I'd never heard of Joshua Kelly. Uh-huh. The guy, every time he touched the ball, it seemed like he was making a nice play.
Yeah, he was. These two guys together, they both had 32 carries, just shy of 200 yards. So they're being effective in what they want to do, running the football. But Willie's right. This team, they get in a lot of multiple sets. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of motioning. They try to disguise what they're doing until the last minute. They try to put the defense in a bind where they're constantly thinking and getting them off balance, so to speak. So look for a lot of motion, a lot of different formations, different personnels. And I'm sure this is what the Titans, from a defensive standpoint, they've been working hard at communicating who's on the field, who's not on the field. Because even though they may have double tight ends on the field, they could still be spread what it seems like as five wides. Yeah. Because these two tight ends are so versatile in what they can do.
I'm really interested with the Titans front. Mm-hmm. Do they try to run it as much as they did last week? Was that just a matchup thing with the Dolphins? I mean, you're looking at Jeffrey Simmons and T.R. Tartt. It's never easy mm-hmm. to run on them. I would think that the Chargers would go into the game thinking, let's use what we have through the air a little mm-hmm. bit more, especially if Fulton is hampered with the hamstring and they don't have Hooker, which looks very likely at this point. It looks like Kellen Moore is probably looking at some matchups and saying, I kind of like this matchup. I like that matchup. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be key, is if they can disrupt Justin Herbert, because if he can sit back there, he's going to find some matchups that are pretty good.
I think what the Chargers are going to do is they're going to try to spread the Titans out. They're going to try to get those backers outside of that box mm-hmm. or declare what they're doing right away. I think that's their only way to try to get a productive run game. If they sit there and try to pack it in, the Titans are going to stop them pretty much all day. But if they spread them out, get some space, because they've motioned, Eckler out wide and then motioned him back in, put him on the side of Herbert, then run him a run play. They've done the exact same thing, fake the run through a quick pass. So they're going to try to do these sort of multiple things to get those linebackers sort of out of the box, in a sense, get the Titans to declare what they're doing from a front standpoint, because they know what we did last week against the Dolphins, we can't do against the Titans front.
And the Kellen Moore aspect of things, I think, is interesting, because I heard Austin Eckler, I believe he was on SportsCenter earlier this week, talking about the changes that Kellen Moore has brought into this offense. And Austin Eckler mentions tempo, how they want to do things quickly.
I'm telling you, they get on the ball fast, mm-hmm. and they're ready to go, almost to a point where a few times I thought it was false start. Like, you didn't get a guy enough time to set. You didn't give your offense a line enough time to set. But they never caught it. Yeah. But I'm sure that is something that Mike Vrabel is going to talk to the refs about Friday when they come in, or Saturday when they come in. Hey, watch them. Make sure they're set mm-hmm. before they try to get off on the ball. Because there were several times that the Chargers got on the ball very quickly, and right after the ref moved out the way, they hiked it. So the Titans got to be aware of that tempo.
That concerns me for two reasons. One, can you get up, get set, and get your mind right before they snap the football? And two, what Mike Vrabel harps on constantly is eliminating those pre-snap penalties. Like, I don't want that defense to get too pass-happy and get those offsides penalties because they're anticipating the snap. But we'll continue with D-Mace's film room coming up next. Let's look at the defensive side of the ball. Because the Chargers, man, like, they have been in some shootouts. They have won and lost some high-scoring games. Plus what Charles Robinson had to say about the Chargers defense and how that should affect what the Titans do offensively this weekend. We'll get back into D-Mace's film room coming up next. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and The Game Nashville app. The Titans home opener is this weekend, and we want you to tailgate with us downtown before kickoff. Join Jared Stillman, Chris Sanders, and Dean Mace at Teddy's Tavern, located across from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza, this Sunday from 9:30 to 11:30. They'll break down the Titans' Week 2 matchup against the Chargers and give you the latest updates before the game. Our NFL pregame show is presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment and The Beast Unleashed. So let's get back into Dean Mace's film room. Jared lent him the film room for the evening. Watch the Chargers-Dolphins game last night. And Dean Mace, unrelated to the Chargers, you did mention how great the Dolphins looked.
I mean, listen, and see, this is why when people say, well, I would rather play this team instead of playing this team, before you even see the team that you talk about you don't want to play.
Well, hey, I said I'd rather play Tua than Josh Allen, I stand by that.
No,
but
watch this Miami Dolphins team. If their defense is 15th, 14th, 13th in the National Football League, I don't see how anybody beats this team. Because when you say speed kills, speed definitely kills when it comes to the Miami Dolphins.
And when you say speed, do you mean tempo or do you mean physical speed?
I'm saying tempo, physical speed. Everything they do seems like it comes from the root of it is speed. Mm-hmm. Everything from an offensive standpoint they do, I think, is rooted in the speed that they have. Tyreek Hill, Waddle, the running backs, everybody, skill position-wise, it seems like everybody is running on a different level than their opponent. What they were able to do against the Chargers, I'm not sure the Titans can do, because the Titans don't have the speed that Miami have. But if y'all want to watch a team with speed, watch the Miami Dolphins. And to me, it's going to be hard to beat a team like that. Now, once you get in the playoffs, things are a little bit different. Teams tend to, you know, figure out a way to try to neutralize it in some respect. But you can only do that when you have one speedster. These guys got like five or six of them running across the
Tyreek
across
Hill, Jalen Waddle.
I mean,
all you need.
Hill, Waddle, the Mostert?
Yeah, Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert coming out the back. But all these guys are 4-3 guys. Probably even, Tariq is probably a 4-1 guy.
He's a sub 440.
Exactly. So these guys, and they use it to their advantage. The play calling is because of the speed. Mm-hmm. Nothing more, nothing less. But let's get to the Chargers defense.
So, but in that same breath, you know, how was the Chargers defense able to keep up with that speed?
They did.
They did. There was a who has the football last. Now, they did get some, you know, situations where, you know, they did stop Miami. But I think a lot of it was what Miami didn't do and not necessarily what the Chargers did. But, again, I can't look at that game and think the Chargers are a bad defense, because that's a different offense. Mm-hmm. If the Titans offense looked like this, then I would be saying, hey, listen, the Titans are going to blow the Chargers out.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look like the Miami Dolphins. The Chargers defense, obviously, is led by Bosa. Khalil Mack's there. He dealt with an injury last year. They revamped their defensive front. They got rid of their first-round pick from a few years ago. So they sort of revamped this defensive front. From a secondary standpoint, again, when I said this team was a big team, they are big both on offense and defense. All of their corners, with the exception of Asante Samuel Jr., are over 6 foot. Their safeties, Darwin James Jr., he's a 6 footer. So these guys have a bunch of size. What killed them against Miami is that their size couldn't match the speed and the smallness of the Miami Dolphins. Well, it sort of matches up well with what the Titans. Titans got bigger receivers. Titans receivers are not as fast as the Dolphins receivers. So expect this Charger team to be a little bit more physical on the outside, because they know the Titans can't run by them the way that Miami ran by them. Another thing with the Chargers defense, they get fooled so easy on play action, boots, and rollouts. If you play action one way or a boot going the opposite way, this is a fast-flowing defense, and at times it hurts them, because there were several situations, and again, it could have just been Miami, you know, because of their speed, but there are several plays where Miami faked one way and the whole defensive front linebackers ran that direction, and Tua comes out the backside. He's running by himself, and receivers are open down the field by themselves. The defensive backs' eye discipline isn't good. Again, maybe it was just Miami. Mm-hmm. But the defensive backs, J.C. Jackson, they're not too high on him. They gave him a lot of money last year, and he's not quite playing up to the standards. At times, that don't be surprised if you see Asante Samuel Jr. get in there a little bit more, depending on what the Titans receivers are doing. But again, this is a big team. They can be physical at times up front, but they can be fooled a lot. You better get some help on Khalil Mack and Bosa. If you don't help on Khalil Mack and Bosa, they're going to wreck everything that you try to do from a pass standpoint. The ball can be ran on them now. Again, they are not a big front. They're a big team, but not a big necessarily a big front. Mm-hmm. So the Titans can run the ball on them, but they're going to have to. This is a game where they're going to have to use play action to their advantage. I wouldn't be surprised if 30% of the play calling is play action, because this defense flows so well, and at times they're undisciplined.
The Chargers have to be sitting there going, man, we just game plan for Miami. Mm-hmm. Totally different look than what they're going to see against the Titans. So I don't know what that's going to look like. That's the mystery. That's what you love about NFL football. And a couple of guys you mentioned, Derek, we should point out that Joey Bosa did miss practice yesterday with the hamstring.
Questionable on Sunday.
And Eric Kendricks, another guy that was a pickup from them in the offseason from, I believe, Minnesota, he missed practice. Mm-hmm. He's an important part of what they brought in. He's got a hamstring. The hamstring things, like, and I know the Titans are dealing with it with Christian Fulton, which is nothing new, but you always wonder what that's going to look like, you know, because that can get worse on one play. You can try to play. It's only week two. I'm sure you're thinking, I can't miss week two. I got to be out there. You try to push it. So just something to keep your eye on. So they could be missing a couple of key pieces. Man, my game plan with Joey Bosa not in there pass rushing, I'm looking forward to that.
That would be a plus for the Titans offense. But again, you know, they can exploit the L.A. Chargers. They just have to be, you know, they have to be systematic at doing it. They got to be consistent in what they want to do from an offensive standpoint. And they got to have a clear vision of how and what they want this game plan to look like against a team that has some really good players, but they can be undisciplined at times. They're not eye disciplined. Let's say that. They can be fooled. The back end isn't as good as what they hoped it to be. Again, they paid J.C. Jackson all his money, and he hasn't, up until this point, he hasn't lived up to those dollars that they've given him. And again, I look at that last game with the Dolphins and the Chargers, and I'm like, wow, this Chargers defense isn't good. But then again, I gotta understand that Dolphins deep offense is totally different. Like, the Dolphins offense is on Mars, Saturn, somewhere.
Otherworldly,
and the Titans are still here on Earth. So I can't quite, you know, say, well, they couldn't do this versus Miami, then they wouldn't be able to do it to this, the Titans.
Right.
No, the Titans offense doesn't have near the speed as the Miami offense does.
Completely different identities.
Exactly.
Miami wants to be, you know, the offense of 2050. Mm-hmm. The Titans are the offense of 1950.
Yeah.
But that's their identity.
No, you're right.
That's their
identity. I've never said that, you know, Miami was a ground and pound team. And I never said that the Titans were the 1980 something version of the run and shoot, you know, the late 80s, early 90s of the run and shoot with the Houston Oilers. So they're not that, but the Dolphins offense isn't, you know, some pedestrian offense either.
Here's what concerns me, and we'll get back into this. Of course, we got silly underdog picks. We'll continue to get back into this conversation. What concerns me is the Titans want to win games by running the football and playing a really good defense. And I think they can win a fair bit of games by doing that. I fear that they just can't, one, defensively get to the quarterback enough to eliminate what the Chargers want to do offensively, and two, the Titans offensively just simply can't keep up. Like, the Titans offense is not equipped to put up 35 points a game. I think the Chargers could average close to 35 points.
They've got
to
make it. And last year, I was worried about that very thing. Yeah. And they were able to Mike Vrabel the game into that 13-10, 16. And they were right in it. They couldn't quite get over the top, even with a decimated lineup. Remember, that was the game that Tannehill re-injured the ankle. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how he finished the game. He came back in after a couple series by Willis. That was amazing to me. But yeah. They didn't quite have enough, but I was impressed how they were able to just make it a lower possession game, keep it within reach, and they had a chance to win it. Mm-hmm.
Make them play the kind of football that you play.
That's what they want to do.
Give up, what, 17 points to the Chargers?
Yeah. But this is a different offensive coordinator.
True.
Yeah.
A different offense. Even Keenan Allen said last year's offense was more predicated on short
dicks
passes. Yeah.
So
this
who
offense
dictates
is
the
totally
tempo?
Different from that. Mm-hmm.
So that's the question is who will be able to dictate the tempo in
right.
this game?
Right. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Let's make some picks. Silly Underdog Picks is next. And, hey, sign up for Silly Underdog Picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. Make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as week one of the NFL kicks off this weekend. Week two of the NFL kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Casket and Superbook Sports.